Isn't it wonderful that we have a God who we know can meet our every need? And all He says is, ask and you shall receive. To seek and you shall find. To knock and it shall be opened unto you. I wouldn't want to serve any other kind of God, would you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's turn in our scriptures this morning to the book of 1 John. Almost near the end of the Bible, near the book of Revelation, 1 John. I'm going to look in chapter number 4 and just one verse here, verse number 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. I'll share a message today about the greatest need in the church. The greatest need in your life, the greatest need in my life. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. John writes and he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Think of the many needs in the church today. If you'd ask that question, what's the greatest need of the church? You get all kinds of many answers. Well, preacher, we need better preaching. All right, we'll start there. Well, we need better music. We need better Sunday school. We need better facilities. We need better finances. The list could just go on and on and on of the needs, and all these are certainly legitimate needs that the church has. But I'm asking about what is the greatest need of the church today? And there's really only one answer to that question. And the answer is the greatest need of the church is love. The greatest need in your life and mine is love. So that is the greatest need of the church. Well, we find in the New Testament, I'm not a good Bible scholar, but they tell me 15 different times in the New Testament, we're reminded to love one another. 5 times in the Gospel or the writings of John here in 1 John, chapters 3 and 4, 5 times John reminds us to love one another. Jesus gave us a very explicit, plain, clear description of that love in John 13. You know the story where they met in the upper room and the disciples met with Jesus, and Jesus took a towel, girded himself, the Bible says in John 13, and he washed all the disciples, the apostles' feet. Now, why would he do such a thing, you wonder? Well, he demonstrated before them the very love and great humility that we ought to have one to another. Why would he do this? I'll tell you why, partly. Just prior to them coming to the upper room, just prior to them gathering here with Jesus in the upper room, the apostles had been arguing of all things. They were arguing about which of them was the greatest. And they're going to just shortly meet with the Lord of glory, and they were wondering about which one of them was the greatest. So Jesus demonstrated the love of God, how we should love one another in that expression there in the book of John. If you want to read the story about their argument, you can go back to the book of Luke in chapter 22 and verse 24, and you can see the question there about their arguing about who was to be the greatest. Well, if love is the greatest virtue that we possess, and I believe it is, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, 13, he says this, "These three things abide, faith, hope, and charity," or love. He said, "But the greatest of these is charity," or love. Well, that ought to settle the question about who's the greatest in the kingdom of God, shouldn't it? Shouldn't it be logical to us if love is our greatest virtue, and it is, shouldn't it be very plain and evident that the person or persons who shows the most love, who exhibits the most love, who loves one another the most, those are the persons who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you agree that that's the truth? So love, you see, settles the matter there. In the early church, in the beginning of the first century, they had such a great testimony that the people outside the church observed the Christians, and the people outside the church family said this about the early church. They said, "Behold, how they love one another." It wasn't a common thing to see that. Most amazing, most awe-striking, if you will. Very much out of the ordinary to see such people called Christians who loved one another. Great testimony on love the first century church exhibited. But you know, I wonder today, what are the outsiders outside the church today? Those outside the family of God today, what are they saying about the church today? What do you think we might hear from those outside the church? Would we hear, "Behold how they love one another"? Or would we possibly hear, "Behold how they hate one another"? "Behold how they fight one another"? "Behold how they treat one another"? So you see, we have a great challenge, don't we? And the greatest need of the church. I think it's time that we took a step back spiritually and really looked at Christian love and really examine it. And so that we can exhibit it better in our own life personally, and that our church family could experience it and exhibit it more to those outside the church family. Now, there's a few things about love I want to share with you today. Three things in particular. Notice these three things carefully with me. First of all, love is a commandment to be obeyed. You say, "Well, preacher, you can't command love." Can you? Yes, you can. Well, I thought love was that little fuzzy, warm feeling that, you know, comes over you and there's nothing you can do about it. It's out of your control. Now, that's Hollywood's definition of love. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you know as well as I do, Hollywood always misses it a country mile, don't they? That may be Hollywood's version of what love's all about, but it's certainly not what God's idea and God's ideal of love really is. Listen, Jesus commanded us, love one another. Well, why does He command us this? Because, you see, love is an act of the will. That's why God can command us to love one another, to exercise our own will, to choose to do that and to love one another. One of the greatest commandments God ever gave us was to love God our Father first and foremost, and to love our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as those who are lost. Love others as God and Christ has loved us. We're supposed to treat others and love others just like Christ treats us and how Christ loves us. Now listen, it may come as a surprise to some people, but God even loves those people in the church. I'll speak about Christians for a little while. God even loves those people in the church that we disagree with. Isn't that strange? God even loves those people in the church that we may even dislike. That's a sin, but nonetheless, it's true, isn't it? But God loves those that we disagree with. And also, listen, God loves us who disagree with them. God loves them who disagree with us just as well. And here's what I found to be true. In more than 40-some years of pastoring, in every church God's ever given me the opportunity to pastor, I have found one or sometimes more than one person in that church who's hard to deal with, who's hard to work with, and it's difficult sometimes to love them. I'm being honest this morning, but nonetheless, here's what I found to be true. God loves them just as much as He loves me. And God wants to encourage me to love them like Christ has loved me. And He wants to encourage them to love me like Christ has loved me. And it's an amazing thing I found this to be true over the years. Some of those folks I have found it sometimes difficult and hard to work with and difficult to really love them like we should. Some of those people have become my friends. Amen. And I trust and I hope and I pray that I've been a friend to them. I'm determined by the grace of God and learning about the Word of God, I am so determined to treat everybody in the church and serve everybody in the church equally. Whether we disagree or whether we agree, whether you like somebody or whether you don't, we need to learn to love everyone. And I strive with God's help to treat everybody in the church as an equal and love them all. So you see, love is a commandment. Can it be commanded? Yes, and it is. Can it be obeyed? Yes, and it is. Can it be experienced in our lives? Surely it could, and it is. And it should be exhibited from the church and from individual Christians to other people's lives. So you see, first of all, love is a commandment to be obeyed. Even by people like you and me, it is a commandment God gives us to love one another. Jesus said, "As I have loved you." So first of all, notice this now. Notice it carefully. Love is a commandment to be obeyed. But there's a second thing about love. Love is a lesson to be learned. Did you get me? Love's a lesson to be learned. That's kind of striking. We'd think, you mean you got to learn how to love? Yeah, you do. You mean it's a lesson to be learned? Yes, it's true. It is a lesson to be learned. Tell you how I know that. If we were not born, all of us, so selfish and so demanding, we'd all die. Now, what do you mean, preacher? Let me give you an example. The cry of that newborn baby, or that rebellion of young children, those are the only tools they have with which to let us know what their needs are. And I'll trust you know they use those tools well, don't they? That baby will cry at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 5 o'clock in the afternoon to let you know if they're wet. They'll let you know if they're hungry. They'll let you know if they're hurting. And little children, as they grow up, little Wyatt here, 9 years old, he's a growing up young man. But you know, children come to a point in time in their life when they have to start learning about love. Love doesn't just come inbred into us. Love's not an overnight success. It just doesn't happen in one day. Love is a lesson that we have to learn. And there comes a time in a child's life when they have to start learning about love. Well, the same thing's true spiritually as it is physically with a child. There comes a time in Christians' lives when we have to start learning how to love like Jesus loved us. It doesn't come in our hearts and lives when you get saved, you automatically get all the things you need to know about love. No, we have to learn those things. God has to teach us, His children, how to treat one another, how to love one another by His example before us. Well, even the Lord has to teach us to love one another. Look with me in your Bible, if you have it with you. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and look at verse 9. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, here's what he says. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So Paul gives us his word, or God's word, on learning to love another as Jesus Christ has loved us. So love is a lesson that has to be learned, taught, if you will. Let me ask us a very personal question to the church. Have we learned that lesson yet on how to love one another and love others? I have to ask myself that personal question. Have I learned that lesson? Or am I willing to learn that lesson? Am I learning that lesson? Am I progressing in that matter? Or do we all need a little refresher course? Can I get a witness? Couldn't we all do a little better than what we do? I'm sure that we can. Well, God teaches us to love one another by the most expressive way that's ever been known to man. Everybody knows John 3:16, don't you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. So God expressed His love toward us in that He gave the most sacrificial gift that could ever be given to express His love to us. And when Jesus came here on this earth, Jesus Himself said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends." Beloved, listen to me. That's exactly what Jesus did for you. That's exactly what He did for me. He laid down His life. No one took His life. He Himself expressed, "I laid my life down," and of course the Spirit of God raised Him up to take it again. So He loved us enough to give us His life, shed His blood, make the supreme sacrifice to atone for your sins and mine. He loved me that much. Would we, any of us, ever loved anybody else like that? I don't think so. Would any of us give one of our precious children to die for loving other people? I doubt it very seriously. Abraham might have been the example in the Old Testament. But nonetheless, beloved, listen. We as a church, if we don't love one another, and if we don't love other people, it is not their fault, it's ours. It is not their fault, it's our fault, because we've been taught. We know it's a command we're supposed to obey. We know it's a lesson we're supposed to learn. God's teaching us that day by day. It's not the teacher's fault, because the Holy Ghost is put in us to teach us that we'll know. Remember what Paul said in Romans 5:5. Go over there and look at that verse. Romans 5 and verse 5. Look what Paul said. Romans 5:5, he says this, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So the Holy Ghost is given to us at conversion, at salvation. God puts His Holy Spirit in us. He comes in there to teach us, and the love of God comes in with the Spirit of God, and He teaches us about the love of God in our life so that we can exhibit that same love in other people's lives. So it's a lesson that must be learned. Have we learned it yet? Are we learning it yet? Would you want to learn it today? Well, the Holy Ghost is in you if you're saved to teach you. He brought the love of God and shed it abroad, Paul says, in our hearts, that we might shed it abroad in other people's lives as well. So I'm talking about the greatest need in the church is love, because it's a commandment that we must obey. It's a lesson that we must learn. But a third thing about love is this. Love is a joy to experience. It's a joy. We have the greatest joy in our heart when we're saved by the grace of God, and the love of God comes into our life and it flows out in other people's lives. It's a great joy to have Christian love in our own heart, isn't it? It ought to be. The Holy Ghost maturing love in our heart and life is our great source of joy. Do you realize, do you know, if you read the book of Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit, love is the first fruit of the Spirit. It begins with love. And then following love, it says joy and peace. So love is a great joy to experience in our heart and life. I never knew what joy was until I got saved. I never knew what joy was to share in other people's lives till God put it in my heart and helps me to understand that I'm supposed to exhibit that and to show that and share that with other people. It's a joy indeed. I want you to look at another passage with me. Look in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and look at verse 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Listen to what Paul writes here about love. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And this is a Pauline prayer, if you will. Notice how he begins in verse 9. "And this I pray," Paul says, "that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Paul prayed that the love would grow more in the hearts and lives of his Philippian brethren and sisters. We ought to pray that the joy God's given us should just expel from us, and the joy that we have, other people can experience that too. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah says, didn't he? Well, by joy, I'm talking about the joy of God. When you get saved, the Spirit of God brings the joy of God, brings the love of God in your heart. When the love of God, first of all, resides in your heart, when the love of God reigns on the throne of your life, and when the love of God is a ruling factor in your life, you're going to have joy. Amen? It's going to be there. It's got to be there. Paul said, "I pray that your love may still abound more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment." So, would you agree that love is the greatest need of the church today? It's the greatest virtue that we have, love. It's everlasting, it's eternal, it never quits, it never gives up, it never goes away. Since we believe, and I heard you say you agree, that love is the greatest need of the church, here's my question. Is love the very missing element in the church of today? If it's our greatest need, and if it's our greatest element that's missing, here where it comes real personal. It's your fault and mine. It's my fault if the love of God in this church is not what it ought to be. It's our fault collectively if the love of God in this church is not what it ought to be. It's no fault with the teacher. The Holy Ghost is a perfect teacher. He brings a perfect love of God in our heart to teach us, to help us understand it, to obey it, to learn it, and get the joy from it. But if it's missing, it's because it's missing in your life and mine. Nothing wrong with the Word. Nothing wrong with the teacher. It always comes down to us, doesn't it? It really does. Well, it doesn't have to be that way, you know. It really does not have to be that way. Remember, love is a commandment that we must obey. If you're not obeying that commandment today, then you ought to start right now, right here, in just a few moments. Love's a lesson to be learned. Is anyone going to learn it perfectly on this life? No. There's always room for growth and improvement. But it's something we need to be taught and to continue to learn till we meet Jesus one day face to face. Are you learning about the lesson of love? Or do you want to learn about it? And then thirdly, I said love is a joy to experience. I wonder why sometimes some people who call themselves Christians, you never see a smile on their face. You'd almost think if they'd smile, they'd crack their face. Why don't the joy come out? If something that great's within us, you can't keep that to yourself. It's got to come out. It's got to show. We've got to exhibit it. Love is a great joy to experience within ourselves and then exhibit that to one another. Now, here's my invitation today. First of all, if you've never come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the greatest need of your life. And when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you see, you get the love of God at the same time put into your heart by the Holy Spirit of God. So then we begin to learn to obey that commandment, to love one another just like Jesus has loved us. And then we continue to learn that loving others is a lesson. I began it over 45 years ago. And you know what? I feel like I'm just barely scratching the surface. I'll never learn it all. No, neither will you. But we have a perfect example of it in our Lord. a perfect deposit of it by the Holy Spirit of God in our life and heart to teach us. He's the greatest teacher of all. To teach us how to love one another. And then the joy that we experience from the love of God. I still think many times about old George Beverly Shea singing at the Billy Graham Crusades. Many, many times I've heard him sing about the love of God. How inexplainable it is. How inexhaustible it is. But how personal it is to each and every one of us. So today, if you've never accepted Christ, you ought to come receive Him today and get the love of God in your heart. And then begin to obey it. Begin to learn the lesson of how to love others as Christ loved us. And if you lack joy in your life, maybe you ought to check up and see why. It's not because of the Lord. It's not because He doesn't shed the love of God in our heart. It's because maybe we don't appropriate it. Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world. We ought to have a smile on our face, joy in our heart, willing to show that to somebody else because of all the wonderful things God's done in our life. And the church is an opportune place to let it begin in our heart and life. Maybe it needs to begin in your heart today. Maybe today you need a refresher course. Maybe the church needs that today. Maybe us personally, we need that today. But if we'll act upon in obedience to God's command, learn to love as He wants us to learn, the joy will come, I promise you. Now, for the need in your life today, you know the need. I don't know your need, but I know what the church's greatest need is to love one another. How they love one another, the others on the outside said. I would to God that would be our testimony of those round about this community, those that you come into contact with, that I come into contact with, that they would look at our lives and have to say, behold, the love of God's in that person's life. I believe I'd like to have what they've got. Well, they can. You can. I can. We all can. But we must obey the Lord first of all. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You that the greatest need of the church is not something that we can't attain. It's not something that's withheld like a fantasy somewhere or a mystery. You made it very plain and clear to us, Lord, that the love of God is what the church needs today. May we experience that as a church here. May we exhibit that as a church here. But Lord, it begins in the individual's heart and life, in my heart and the heart of those who have heard the word today. May that love begin with us and then expand throughout the whole church family and to the outside, to those we meet. Maybe, Lord Jesus, today there's someone who comes to the church house today and they don't know about the love of God. They don't feel any love at all. Help them to know, Lord Jesus, it's only found in You. Help us who know You to learn to obey more clearly the commandment to love. Help us, Lord, and teach us even better to love one another. Help us to be thankful and be joyous in that great love. May those today who have a need in their life, may they come to receive that need met. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.